Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Lisa Ayers, the Director of Communications at the Realtor Association of the Fox Valley, and welcome to the September 16th edition of Real Estate Experience Live. This is a series created by the RAFE Technology and Communications Committee, and the goal of this series is to tackle real issues with real estate in real estate with realtors. We are so excited about our topic today. We've kind of hijacked our normal panel, and we're going to talk about our in-house leadership program, Foundations in Leadership. But before we get to the discussion, I'd just like to say thank you to our panelists for taking your time to be with us. We know you are extremely busy. And we would also like to thank everyone in the viewing audience for joining us as well, or anyone joining us on the replay. If you have any questions during the discussion, be sure to put them in the chat box. We'll be checking it frequently throughout the discussion, and we will definitely be getting to questions at the end. So make sure that you stay on until the end if your question hasn't been answered. So let's get started. First, let me introduce our panelists. Our first guest is Miguel Fernandez of HomeSmart Connect. Miguel is our newly installed 2021-22 RAFE president and was part of the inaugural class of Foundations in Leadership. Welcome, Miguel. Next, we have Patricia Romke of Realty One Group Excel. Patricia is our current RAFE treasurer and is a Foundations in Leadership Session 3 alumnus. Hi, Patricia. And thirdly, we have Doug Benavides, a business partner of RAFE. Doug is the senior branch manager of Cross Country Mortgage and was in Miguel's Foundations in Leadership class, one of the inaugural classes. Hello, Doug. And then lastly, we have Bridget Campbell of Baird & Warner Fox Valley. She is the senior sales trainer at Baird & Warner and was a Session 2 alumnus. Hello, Bridget. And then our moderator, the one who's going to be asking all the questions and facilitating the discussion, is Chris Studebaker, the CEO of RAFE, an incredible and faithful servant leader in his own right, and was also the person responsible for the creation of the Foundation's leadership program. So everyone say hello to Chris.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Chris.
And hi, everybody. I guess I'm supposed to take it away, huh, Lisa?
Yeah, go ahead. Take it away.
Thank you for the introductions, and thank you to the panelists who are here today. This program is one where, you know, people say, what do I need leadership for? What do I need leadership training for? Well, I can tell you that as somebody who has been part of organizational management and leadership development for 20 years, I know I don't look that old, but I have been around for 20 years doing this, and I've worked with politicians, candidates, volunteer leaders with national associations, state associations, and local associations over that time. And it is always interesting to me how different individuals are and how their skill level really is all over the board. Not everybody kind of needs their own thing, right? You could be very charismatic in one way, and lack in some skills, some leadership skills in another way. And so when we developed this program, Dr. Tom Berliner and I developed this a few years ago, it was really with the idea that we take everybody where they're at in their own leadership journey, right? The idea not, you know, when we looked around and we looked at what the chambers do, you know, the chambers have their own leadership program, state associations have their own leadership program. And our idea was to be a little bit different. It wasn't really going to be focused on advocacy. It was going to be focused on kind of the individual, the self, and where you are in your leadership journey. So the idea was when we came out of this, we wanted to put together a program that when you were done, you were a better spouse, a better parent, better brother, sister, manager, realtor, whatever you wanted to be better or whatever you needed, you know, some development at, you were going to be better at that. So it had very little, you know, very little to do with the realtor organization as a whole. This was a life skill development. And I think we've done a pretty good job at that. And The idea was is that if we made you a better all-around leader, that at some point you would come back and provide some of that skill to we would benefit from that as an organization in some fashion. So that's where we're at. That's what we developed, a 10-session program that culminates with a trip to Springfield, Illinois. So we have a little field trip. That's always fun, right? We get to go to the Realtor of the Year banquet. We give you capital, some time on Capitol Hill to interact with legislators. We kind of give you a peek behind the curtain of what the state association is all about as well. That's really the only area where we really focus on the organization itself. It's important. It's what we do. We do a lot of things, but advocacy is our primary component as a realtor association. So I think everybody, I'll have some of the folks who were able to go to that last year. We were not able to go because we were COVID grounded. And so we're going to get back to that in April of 2022 for sure. So that's kind of the backdrop. And if you guys have more questions on that later, we can. But hopefully through some of the Q&A here, we'll answer most of your questions or provide some deeper insight as to where we're going. So let's start with our president, Miguel. Since he's the president, kind of get to go first. Miguel, you were part of that first class. You have a unique background in education level. You've been, you're an attorney. You have, graduate degree and all those things. Was there any apprehension for you to jump into this leadership class? I mean, you've been a part of some other organizations. Did you really think you needed it? Kind of tell us your thought process of getting involved.
So I'm personally, despite what you may have seen on the dance floor after a couple of drinks, I am an introvert by nature. So I've been trying to develop myself since high school with public speaking and I'd gotten my realtor license probably a couple years before, been a year on the government affairs committee. I was going to come in as vice chair, and there were rumblings that maybe I should apply to be on the board. So I thought, any additional knowledge that I could gain going into those kinds of things would probably be helpful. So that's why I joined. That's why I signed up for Foundations and Leadership. Plus it was the inaugural class. So, you get the easiest application process.
less ridicule. Okay. Bridget, how about you? You do a lot of training for your profession and your everyday job, right? And so did you think you were going to get much out of it? Was there any apprehension into participating?
No. In fact, I feel like I actually had to beg everybody to look at my application to make sure that because I really wanted to take part in the group. I'm always seeking educational opportunities, and I felt like this was a great opportunity to grow. And now that I've been through the program, I would just say to you, it was an amazing opportunity to grow. I'm so grateful I jumped at the chance. And if I could do it again, I would sign up in a heartbeat.
Patricia, from your standpoint, what was the group dynamic like within this program? Because it's not, we talk about kind of your a self-directed course in leadership development, but you are in a class and you do have things to do. What was the class dynamic like, the group dynamic?
Well, I think our group was very diverse. We had people from obviously different companies. Some were friends when I started, and afterwards they are all very much part of my close group. As far as the dynamic, we were all nervous when we first started, kind of fear of the unknown, fear of public speaking, fear of being embarrassed. But I think we all got over that pretty quickly because we learned to laugh at ourselves and not take ourselves so seriously.
Doug, from your perspective, you know, I know that, you know, Patricia mentioned kind of the group coming together. What are your thoughts on that? You know, as a business partner, you participated on this, and what did you get out of it, and how what's your experience?
I actually didn't know what to experience. You know, I think I was newer to the RAFB at the time. And then I think that opportunity presented itself, and I'm always a kind of say yes guy first. And I'm so happy I was able to participate in the first class. You know, Patricia nailed it right on the head. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway I personally had were the friendships that were created, minus Miguel. No, I'm just kidding. Miguel, you know, we all got so close. We all, you know, talk to each other. We all still stay in touch. We all still get, you know, lunch or drinks. And that's probably the most meaningful out of all of it. But as far as the leadership piece of the course, it helped me tremendously. You know, if you're not honest with yourself about your flaws, you're not going to grow. And I think I walked away with way more than I walked in with. And, you know, I'm very thankful.
So you said you were kind of newer to RAFV. Was there a lot that you learned about the organization just being part of this group?
Absolutely. The biggest thing that stood out was, you know, being with another realtor organization and kind of being a fish in an ocean, you know, was kind of tough, right? You know, you don't really know how to navigate. I had recently moved back from Maryland to Illinois. But when we went from Downers Grove to St. Charles and I joined the Fox Valley Realtor Association, it was a whole different feel. You know, it was a family-oriented vibe. We all know each other's names, right? It wasn't like, hey, stranger that does lending. Like, we know each other. We support each other. I think the Realtor Association here does a really good job of promoting all of the business partners. And I think us business partners do a good job of supporting our realtor partners. And it's just a family vibe, you know, and that's something that I don't take for granted.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed as part of the participants who have participated in this program, I should say, in the Foundations and Leadership Program, is many of the folks that do that are not necessarily super active in the association. I mean, my gosh, we had a few people in the first class that never participated. You know, maybe they came to a social event, but they weren't on committees. They weren't super intimately involved with the group. Do you guys have anybody have any comments on that as far as whether that's necessary, needed, or, you know, where you were in your, you know, organizational journey?
I mean, the organization's always looking to have new leaders come in and step up and offer their perspective, but I think it speaks to the way the class was designed, that you can take what you learn in the class and apply it to whatever. We're all leaders, whether we want to call ourselves leaders or not. We're all leaders by example in our lives. So if it's family life or church or whatever community organization, work, the tools you learn in this class apply everywhere. So yeah, we'd love to have you come back and help us out, but it's a useful class for everybody.
Chris, I think I had a different perspective on that. I think you're right, but I think it also motivated people to get more involved. You know, if I look at all the alumni classes that have come through, you're talking about, I see them more at events now than maybe they were going to prior. They're all, I mean, the success rate from these groups is kind of crazy, right? We're talking what, like 80% plus are now board members or directors of the association. You know, Miguel's now, you know, president. Paul Kempel was a previous president and participated in the foundation of leadership. I was a business chair last year. Like, I think we get way more involved, and I think it's a springboard for us to be leaders of this association and really have our voices heard and get more involved. I think it does that for us.
You know, we've had some folks that have been really involved in other organizations and other charities as well that participated in this program. So, you know, we talk about how, you know, it's not realtor specific. That's a true thing. It really isn't. We just want you to be better and develop yourself and hopefully you come back and bring it home a little bit. But let's talk about the program, how it's laid out with the sessions. Realtors are busy people. I think we've switched it up a little bit, but for the most part, we try to find one location and have a central location where everybody meets. Talk about that experience. Was it difficult to set aside those couple days a month, or, you know, for the 10 sessions, for those few hours that you're together? Patricia?
I don't think so. It was, you know, a pretty easy to get to location. The time went by so fast. I mean, you think, what, 3 hours, 3.5 hours we're spending together. And it's like, oh, can I really afford to give up that time? But it went by so fast, and there was so much content that we got in those meetings, especially the ones in person before COVID. It was just a great experience.
Bridget, what about your perspective? There's homework, right? I mean, it's not like you go there and you just sit through seminars. So, mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the demand on the time outside of class.
You know, I think that time is one of those things that you just have to make this a priority, because the value in the end is so worth it that you can't not make it a priority. I didn't feel like the homework was overwhelming. It was valuable. It was something that helped me grow and allowed me to get in a better place and be prepared for class. But the homework wasn't like, if you didn't get it done today, it would affect your ability. It's not like going back to school kind of homework. It really is growth related and valuable to you. So I didn't feel like that was too difficult to accomplish that piece either.
Okay. The one thing, and I think it's important for everybody who's watching to know, is that attendance is mandatory. I mean, we are going to do this in person. You know, I think we took some feedback from the last class we had, which was able to do both virtual and, I guess, Zoom virtual and in-person class. And really the feedback was for this type of learning, being together is really, really necessary for the full impact. So everybody needs to know that, you know, there may be accommodations made, but for the most part, the expectation is we have 10 classes, you show up for 10 classes and do your work. So just throw that out there, make sure everybody is is on the same page. We'll go around the horn here and we'll start with Bridget. Give me your number one takeaway from your class.
You know, I always felt like as a person that I was a leader bound, right? I think the number one takeaway for me was I've had to learn the followership piece. So not understanding the followership piece was holding my leadership career back for where I was going to go. And so I think that was really the largest takeaway, which was sometimes you might feel like it's your job to just be the leader all the time. But I think that following is very important. And that was a skill that I took away that I didn't have before.
Very nice. Patricia?
Well, I'm very much shy, and it took me a while to be comfortable standing up in front of people, being vulnerable. And I feel like I gained a lot as far as confidence and wanting to continue in leadership.
Well, we're happy as our... your president, you're going to be president-elect, correct? Or treasurer?
She's treasurer this year.
Treasurer, yes. I keep forgetting. Everybody's coming up. So you're all getting so big, so fast. Douglas, how about you?
Man, so many takeaways. You know, as far as the homework and stuff, I mean, I don't think anyone gets excited for that. I think our class probably got the most amount of homework. I think Bridget and Patricia, you guys may have lucked out on some assignments. I mean, we had like books to read. We had report speeches to do, some service projects to do. It was a bunch of stuff, but it almost forced you to kind of manage your time better, right? Because you're like, dang, I had to block out all these times. I got to do some homework assignments. I'm going to fall behind on my work or appointments or listing appointments, whatever it is you got going on. And you were almost forced to get better at time management. But personally, as far as how it really helped me, I think it really helped me look at my team that I had and how do I maximize their strengths based on me being a better leader. You know, it's very easy to nitpick and look at people's weaknesses or what they did wrong. But I kind of flipped my mindset and started looking, all right, what do they do well? And then I started having them focus in on what my team does really well. And my team has exploded since this class. We have a lot of growth. I think last year we grew 150% in volume and units and families that we're helping. And we're about another 70% this year. So, I mean, it's really helped me a lot. It helps me really reflect. And I always think back to that class.
Miguel, do you want to talk a little bit about the class project? I think it's pretty much the same. It may have changed a little bit, but do you remember enough about it to talk about?
We had two class projects, and Doug and I in our class were particularly terrified because you guys set us up to start class just as the spring market that year was taking off. So all the realtors in the class were like, what? I got homework and I got to go show houses and I got a list. And how do I keep up with all this? But everybody managed to pull their act together and get it done. And it was well worth it. There were, from my recollection, there were two big projects. There was a book report, which was, you know, leadership development, professional development book, read it, presented to the class. And then there was presentation of a community service organization, a charity organization, 501c3, that meant something in particular to you that you were committed to. Mine was on the Alzheimer's Foundation, because my mother-in-law was dealing with what we thought, well, it is a neurological issue. We thought it was Alzheimer's, but it's something different, and it's still scaring all of us and how that all works. But it's part of the learning how to present and make yourself vulnerable. I think everybody that, you know, it's one thing to give a book report and kind of talk about that, but to talk on a charitable organization that's particularly impacting your life or important to you, that's a different level of vulnerability. And fortunately, by the time we got there, we'd already had our Springfield trip, so we were all bonded and it was a safe space for everybody.
Yeah.
Vulnerability is an important part of leadership, and you're right. I think that those were impactful for me as an observer to the class, watching all of those being done and knowing, finding where you guys were coming from, and even for the folks that didn't necessarily have one, to go out and find one and research and learn a little bit about an organization that they ultimately ended up supporting, which is always pretty cool. So we talked about kind of the 10 sessions. We talked about the homework. We talked about the class projects. Those could ebb and flow a little bit. Patricia, did you guys do a joint project or individual projects for your community service project?
Unfortunately, I'm drawing a blank, Chris.
I
believe so. And it was kind of a journey thing, you know, what types of things do you need to make a successful presentation, you know, bringing in all the different elements, putting it together and being able to, you know, present that to a group.
What was the, let's talk a little bit. I know Patricia was not able to go to Springfield, but Miguel and Doug, if you guys want to talk a little bit about the Capital Conference and how that was woven into the class and how that all came out. I guess, Bridget, you can talk about that too. I didn't mean to exclude you on that.
Who wants to start?
Actually, even though I didn't get to go, with this group. I have gone to Capital Conference in the past, and it is really a great trip, and getting to meet, you know, some of your leadership in Springfield, and being able to sit down in their office and actually talk to them and you know, share the realtor's vision so that they understand where we're coming from and what we expect from them as our leaders.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands what that means. So we talk about lobby day, and it's really when the agents here in the Chicagoland or greater Illinois area all converge on the Capitol, where you get to sit down with the leadership and talk about homeowners' rights and home ownership and those kind of things to make sure that the bills and stuff that are being passed meet our industry, but more importantly, meet all of us who own homes or would like to own homes, the opportunity to really, you know, be taken care of at that stage in the game. So that in and of itself is really impressive, a great opportunity. I'm not from Illinois, so it was the first opportunity for me to actually see the state capitol and be on the floor of both of the House and the Senate, which was a super neat experience as well. I just felt like it was a good bonding experience for our group. But in addition to that, the fact that we, as this wonderful trade organization, actually take the time out of our busy careers to actually step forward and push owners' rights, I want to make sure that you understand that that's part of what you get to participate in. In fact, it's one of those things that now that you've done it once, I can't see how we would miss it. And I missed the opportunity for not being able to go down myself as an agent, but I look forward to doing it again in 2022.
Nice. So for us, it was I had been to Capital Conference the year before, and it's a fantastic experience. It's impressive to see all that many realtors in one place at one time, kind of jockeying to see all their various representatives and senators. But it's also a lot of adapting, shifting your schedule, sitting around waiting because they're usually on the floor or coming off, or you're never quite meeting them when you thought you were going to meet them. We had a couple of instructional sessions tied in with the usual craziness of Capital Conference. We were fortunate enough to have Colonel Wilcox, who's now a state senator, talk to us about leadership and his experience with leadership in the military. We did all of the board organization stuff the first day. And then we had one of our Illinois realtor government affairs directors give us explain to us what they do at the state capitol on a regular basis and all the bills they read and the relationships they develop with the various senators and representatives so that our voice gets heard. It was, every time I go down, I learn a little bit more about what they do and how the sausage is made. And I'm glad that they're in the room there for us, making things happen, especially after the COVID year. We wouldn't be an essential service and wouldn't have been working if not for them. We wouldn't have, a lot of realtors wouldn't have been able to get unemployment insurance, which they can now get because they're usually independent contractors and we don't get unemployment insurance. There's a lot of stuff that our government affairs directors at the local and state level are doing for us that we don't usually see, and it all kind of comes to a head at Capitol Conference. So that was impressive for a political geek like me.
Doug, you have anything to add to that?
Not really. I thought I was a political geek and I didn't know anything that was going on down there. It was organized chaos. It was crazy to see and witness, but it was an experience for sure. So, like Bridget, that was my first time being out in the Capitol, and it was just really cool to be there. I'm a Lincoln fan, so I wanted to be like a little tour groupie fan out there, just kind of seeing some stuff on Lincoln. But yeah, it was an awesome experience. Would absolutely recommend it.
So in general, would you guys say that your experience with this program met, exceeded, fell short of expectations?
Exceeded mine. I didn't know what to expect. We were first group, so we were like the perfect guinea pig, but I think everyone from that group would say the same. It was worth it. We got a lot out from it. We got friendships out of it. And I think we all grew. I mean, you're talking managing brokers came out of that group. Directors came out of that group. Look at Miguel. He has a beard now. There's so many good things that came out of that group. So,
and it's gray. Thank you very much. It's all gray. Yeah, definitely exceeded expectations. Like Doug was saying, it was the first class, so we weren't quite sure what we were getting into. But by the end, we were all very happy to have gone through it together, met each other. I've gotten referrals. It's one of those things working in the association. You get to know people, and you get to know the ones that are going to show up and do their work the right way. So it's really easy to refer business to people that you've seen in the volunteer organization level do what they need to do. You can kind of trust them to do it in your, you know, for work when we're all getting paid by our clients.
Well, while we were the second group, I don't know that I necessarily had any expectations. And I hate to say that it exceeded my expectations for fear that somebody would take the class and then be like, well, let me down. I don't think that's possible because it really was very beneficial. I didn't necessarily know exactly what I was going to take away from it when I started it. I just knew that I wanted additional information. So I felt like it was really beneficial. And it absolutely checked every box and more than what I expected it to do for me. I refer back to my book on a regular basis to kind of things to, for ideas for, you know, brainstorming and putting things through. So I think it has really given me a great opportunity to use those tools as I go forward.
Great. Patricia, anything to add?
I would agree with Bridget that I gained so much from this program, not just business-wise or volunteer-wise, but personally. We did a lot of, we spent a whole couple of sessions working on conflict management and how to diffuse situations and bring people together and respect other people's ideas. But ultimately, what we're all trying to do as leaders is do the best for the most.
Very nice. So we have the application. I know that has evolved from the beginning to now. It still, you know, takes a little time to do it, but I don't think it's anything overly complicated. The nice part this year, the Illinois Realtors through the REEF Real Estate Education Foundation has a scholarship, the Gary Clayton Scholarship, which can be used for this type of program. And you have to get a couple letters of recommendation, but I'm happy to write one of them. I know you have to get, I think you have to get one from your managing broker, and then you have to get two other ones. So, but I'm happy to include one for all of our applicants for that. I think there's a completion component to that. You have to complete the program to get reimbursed for that. But I think that's a great opportunity for anybody that's here to offset all or a portion of the cost of this program. And that's, you know, I think that's awesome. That's something that you guys did not have the opportunity to. We also have a couple of managing brokers that provide a scholarship for that. And we've had some business partners that have participated along the way as well. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to offset the costs of this. So don't let that scare anybody that's watching. I think that's pretty cool. First sessions, October 12th, scholarships are available. Missy and myself are probably the go-to folks to answer any questions we may have. Registrations are due September 20th. So don't be late.
Hey, Chris, if I can.
Yes.
That application is not just write your name down in a box and put in your birth date and your social security number and send it in. It's a questionnaire that's pretty intense. So today's the 16th, you have 4 days. I just want you to open it, look at it, really engage with it. It's important, but I think it gives you good insight kind of to the value of the information that you're going to get. It's not something that you can just do in 5 minutes.
I would I think that's a you're absolutely right. I don't want to undercut it. I want people to get discouraged, but it is worth the time. I also want to make sure we understand too that this foundation's leadership program was neutrally branded to allow for folks from other associations to participate as well. So if you have if you're interested and you're from, you know, Lake Geneva, or you're from McHenry, or wherever, any other association, we're happy to work with you and figure out how to make it all work, because you know, leadership is an important component regardless of what organization you are in. It's important to the realtor brand, so putting as many folks on the street with the skills necessary to lead wherever they go is important. So that's what we're trying to do. Lisa, did I miss anything?
Nope, you're all good. We do not have any questions in the chat, because I think you guys did such a phenomenal job. I think you'd covered everything. And
just to clarify, September 20 is to register for Foundations in Leadership. What's the deadline for the REEF scholarship?
I think that's a moving target.
Okay.
So I will clarify that. Missy and I will clarify if there is an actual deadline for that. But
Missy said no
deadline in the chat.
So yeah. It's a rolling scholarship.
Yeah. So yeah, that's amazing that we have that available to us. That's awesome. So does anybody else have anything to say? Cause I could, anything, are we all good?
Yeah, anybody on the panel?
If there's any business partners watching, I highly encourage it, along with the friendships and all the good stuff and your growth. Miguel mentioned he got referrals. I think I work with everyone from my class. So I'm here to share the wealth. If you're a business partner, take advantage. It's a great way to get yourself some new connections. But on top of everything is be a better leader.
Fantastic.
Hey, Missy, I'm trying the link for the application and I can't get it to populate.
Ooh, let me take a look at it.
And we will be putting this out on, well, it's obviously on Facebook. We will be reposting it. We'll also be sending it out via email to all of our members so that they can watch it. And we'll put a live link in there too. I don't know what's going on with the link right now, but we'll put that live link in the email that goes out. So thank you so much to our panelists. Like I said, I know you guys are extremely busy and this is a busy time of year. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk to people about this. And thank you all who are tuning in either live or on the replay. And please look forward to our next episode of Real Estate Experience Live, which is going to be in a couple of weeks on the 22nd, I believe. I might be saying the right or wrong date, but it's going to be about RPAC and why you should care about RPAC. So we'll be coming back to you again twice for two times in September. So thank you so much for joining us and have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.